Well, I've mentioned several times that we're in a series called The Character of Faith. We're working through that two-verse section from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. It's an amazing section because Paul just captures in that very simple, not simplistic, that very simple way, a glimpse of what it might look like when our character is connected with God. Began last week by not doing this in order. It begins with love. We're going to do that later, but we are going to cover all nine. We began last week with joy. This week, we look at the word peace. Let me share with you a verse from Isaiah 26, because it gives us something about where peace comes from. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust you. Now, they're talking about God. You could say it this way. God keeps in perfect peace all who trust him, all whose thoughts are fixed on him. So this connection with God is that source of peace we begin to learn early on. Now maybe you don't see yourself as a biblical scholar, but I bet you know the Old Testament word for peace. Anybody know it? Shalom. Yeah, a bunch of you at the same time shared it. That's an amazing word. It's rich and replete with, well, when you learn about the word, you realize there's nothing better you could wish for a person. Now, let's test you on this one. Do you know the New Testament word for peace? Didn't hear anybody that time, but I bet you know it. In fact, if you have a friend or family member named Irene, you know the word. Now, in Greek, it's pronounced differently. We don't really know how Koinonia Greek was exactly voiced. There's a different kind of Greek that's spoken today, but Koinonia Greek is what was used in the New Testament, but the word is spelled exactly the same as the name Irene, probably pronounced Irene or Irene, one of the two. So if you know Irene, you know Irene, peace. That's the New Testament word, the Greek. And the Hebrew, of course, is the Old Testament word, shalom. Now, it doesn't matter if you're using Old or New Testament images, if you're using Greek or Hebrew, shalom, Irene, has that same meaning. And it means more than what we think of in the English connotation. The absence of war, the absence of discord or confusion is what we often say when we talk about peace. Actually, it carries a much more deepful, hopeful connotation, positive meaning. And boy, do we need that. So here's something I wonder if you know. Since the birth of Christ, so we're talking about 2,000 years, how many years has this world seen peace, the absence of war, nation against nation? Anybody know? Zero is a good guess, but it's actually 200. And that's not continuously. It's little smatterings here and there, a few months, maybe a year. But less than 200 years of peace, where some nation is not tearing into another nation, and usually it's more global than that. I mean, we don't do a good job of maintaining peace. We're always fighting with someone. And I'm talking about us that live on this planet, people. It's no wonder we long for peace, which I think is why the angel, when showed up to talk to the shepherds, began with this phrase, telling them that Jesus is born and that it's peace. Peace be unto you. It's something that we all hunger and long for. Not just freedom from war and rest, but something deeper, because the word itself means so much more. Peace found in Scripture points to wholeness and fullness, completeness, rightness. It's not just the absence of discord, but more the presence of harmony. We're not just tolerating each other, but we're really getting along. This peace that Scripture talks about is profound. So the question is then, all right, where do you go to get it? Where can I move? I bet some of you thought about that. Where do I need to move to get away from all of this? I mean, this strife that's out there, this anger, this discord. Problem is, and that's why I talked about how few years of peace we've had, you move somewhere and something happens. I mean, I bet the people who lived in the Canary Islands thought it was a peaceful tropical paradise until the volcano erupted. And I thought, You know, probably the people who live on the coast of Louisiana thought last year was enough. This year is going to be better. And Ida showed up. Or there could be a terrorist group, or there could be angry strife between nations, or neighbors against neighbors, or politics, or controversy in the church. And you don't have to look far before you find it, tearing it up. We're better at plowing up discord than we are sowing the seeds of peace. Where do you go? I think to point to a place is wrong. Because you really can't find a place of peace. Peace, as it turns out, and when you look at Scripture, is found in a relationship. It's exemplified in a person. Which is why Scripture tells us that there is one coming who will be known as the Prince of Peace. It's a wonderful imagery for God. You know, when Jesus was being pointed at, there is this idea that will bring peace. Now, we could say that Jesus dropped the ball. It didn't work because since his birth, there's been all these years of conflict. And in fact, we're living in a really difficult time. Unless we see something else about peace, which again is why we look at Scripture. He is given this title, the Prince of Peace. And Jesus came to give that gift to his followers, which is why Paul is talking about it when he writes to the church in Galatia. This is something that no earthly king, no earthly prince is able to give. Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. I don't give it to you as the world gives it to you. So there is an implication of that because he goes on to say, your heart must not be troubled or fearful. Now, why does that work? Why is that important? I've learned two things about this relationship. That with Jesus, we find peace with God, and we find the peace of God. They're distinctive, but they're related. And it begins with peace with God. What Jesus was saying to us is, I'm going to do something for you. In fact, we're getting ready to celebrate it, to focus on it with communion today. This peace with God, I know what happens. We do things that are contrary to the way God calls us to live. We call it sin. It's a breaking of relationship. We do things that hurt us, that hurt others, that hurt God, break his heart. And it's contrary to how we are created to be. We live contrary to that image that we're created in. You know, our spiritual DNA includes the breath of God. That ruah that we read about in the very Genesis story. God breathes into us and we live. And so when sin comes in, we're working contrary to that design, who we are created to be. And that destroys peace. Because then we begin to wonder, am I okay? Am I worthy? Am I accepted? Am I loved? And it's not just with God. It could be with others, with yourself. I mean, there's so many ways that it could happen. So God did something extraordinary. He said, I'm going to take care of that for you. It's an old, old story. We sang about it. Amazing grace. I'm going to take it. Your garbage, your brokenness, your sin, I'm going to take it. I'm going to pay the penalty for that. And so Christ went to the cross, took our sins upon himself. And Paul says that makes us right before God. He says in Romans 5, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, that is, put right before God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. And it's not what I did. It's not what you do. It's not going to be happening in the Pentagon, in the halls of Congress. It's not going to be a peace accord that's going to make it happen. It's what Christ has done for us. Jesus loves us. So he said, I'll take it. So that I'm not at odds with God and I can focus on something else. The peace with God is there. But that other thing that I pointed to, that's the peace of God. And I know we don't often think about that, but that is such an important piece. We might say peace with God is a spiritual peace. Let's talk about an emotional peace, the peace of God. It's what, when everything is chaotic and crazy around me, will settle my heart down. Helps me sleep through the night. Scripture describes it as an internal sense of well-being and order. God, we read in 1 Corinthians, is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. The very thing that God wants us to experience is His peace. He not only wants to give us peace that confirms and settles that brokenness, but He also wants to give us a peace that brings security and hope to our earthly journey. This is not a by and by. One day we'll get there. Everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ eventually discovers, and I hope you discover, that you can really face the problems of this world, even face death, and still have the peace of God in your heart. Man, I'd love to tell you the ministry is easy, smooth, piece of cake. And there are times when that actually happens. But it's not always that way. What I love about that image is it gives me a peace even when things are crazy. Now, some of you have experienced things like this, but every now and then we'll get a call from a family saying, we're going to have to remove mom from life support or something like that. Mom might be on a ventilator and she's failing, her body's not working, she can't live, and we're artificially keeping her alive. And Pastor, we don't know how to do this. This is heartbreaking. Can you come? Of course. It's an anxious moment because you realize the room is just full of pain, tension, hard decisions. And you know what they don't want me to do? To show up and make it worse. It's not about me. They want me to come to convey some sense of peace and hope. An appropriate love and ending. And I don't know how to manufacture that myself, just on and of in and of myself. But what I do at that point is I just lean on God. I mean, that may sound trite, but literally that's what I do. I say, Lord, I don't know what I'm walking into. I need your peace, your help. It's amazing how it comes. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but it's the ability to cope when that conflict, that hardship is there, when life is frustrating. Because even in the most difficult situations, God's peace is there. That's why it's not the world's peace. That gets yanked away in a heartbeat. This is something supernatural and powerful that's important to remember, that wherever I am in life, God's peace is there. My heart right now, tomorrow, next week. There is a phrase in Colossians 3 where he says, and let the peace of the Savior to which you were called in one body control your hearts. Peace has this controlling aspect, we learn. Now, the word control that appears in Colossians doesn't appear anywhere else in Scripture. It's not in any other book or any other verse. And it's a word you might relate to because it translates in English more appropriately as umpire or referee. You ever seen a football game where they've started arguing about a call or what happened, and then they get into it, they take their helmets off, and everybody pours onto the field? Guess who has to get that straightened out? The referees have to say, back off. Then they have to decide whatever penalties will be there and who actually has the ball and where it's going to be put and how to restart the game. We need somebody to do that when it has broken loose. That's kind of the image that's being pointed there. An umpire keeps the peace. Make sure the games are played in that smooth and orderly way so that we can keep playing the game. Well, that image is imperfect when we look at Scripture, but it points to it because that's what it means. We need somebody in our lives to referee all those myriad of emotions, that constant changing experience of life. You know, things are going along pretty well, then you walk out the door, and they're not. How do you survive that? How do you get through that? And what Paul is saying in Colossians is that there's somebody who will give order to your life. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. But like anything that God does for you, if you are closed off to it, if you don't receive it, it doesn't do any good. When the bottom falls out, today, through the week, next week, whenever it is for you, who are you going to turn to? What are you going to do? How are you going to get through this? And the promise of Scripture is there is one who is ready for you to give you this peace, this smoothing out, orderly way of getting through this. Peace with God speaks of salvation. It speaks of His Lordship. But it doesn't stop there. Because we're supposed to experience the peace of God. Peace with God and the peace of God are just part of that same continuum. And in every case, it brings us back to God. There's a story about a captain on a whaling ship. Different day, different time, 150 so years ago. But he was a skeptic. He's not unlike a lot of people we may know. He just didn't believe. He didn't believe about Jesus. He didn't believe he was the Son of God. He didn't believe Scripture is important. It's a guide for life. He didn't believe a lot of doctrines. He just knew life was hard. And he just got to deal with it. But he didn't believe in God. He eventually retired. He moved to an old soldier's home, a place where they could go and retire and live out their last days. And while there, he met a chaplain. The chaplain who worked there, a pastor who took care of the old soldiers and sailors who were there, found out about him and found out this guy just didn't believe anything about faith. He didn't see any use for it. It was for weak people. So he got to know him. And they would talk and debate, and the captain just blew him off. And one day, to stop arguing so that it would be peaceful, the chaplain came to him and he said, "I've got something for you." And it was simply a copy of the New Testament. He said, "This is yours." And he pulled out a red pencil. He said, "This goes with it." So what I want you to do is I want you just to, whenever you get a chance, read through the Bible, through the New Testament. And any place you find something that you can't accept or disagree with, underline it, mark it, circle it with that red pencil. And then we can talk about it. So the chaplain would come 3 or 4 times a week and he'd say, "Got any red markings?" Guy didn't answer. He just smiled at him. And this happened over and over and over again. He'd never, ever debated anything with him. And then as the chaplain came one morning, he was greeted by an orderly who said, "I'm sorry, Pastor, but he died last night. He died in his sleep." The chaplain went into his room and he was there on his bunk. He had died, but he was holding in his hands that New Testament. And the chaplain couldn't resist, so he picked it up and started thumbing through the pages. There was no red mark anywhere until he got to one section. And it's one that I think you know, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we wouldn't perish but have eternal life." That part was highlighted, underlined, and in the margins he wrote, "I've cast my anchor in a safe harbor. I've cast my anchor in a safe harbor. I am at peace. Thanks be to God." Just simply reading through about how much God loved him brought him peace. Who would not want that gift? Peace. Not the kind of peace that the world can yank away and change and pull away from you, but the peace of a loving Creator, the Lord of the universe. How about you? Are you at peace? Is there peace in your life in spite of what's going on? Do you find yourself getting angry, frustrated, reactive? If so, then I invite you to think again about peace with God. And to find what a wonderful gift has already been given to you so that you can know the peace of God. which is where the rubber hits the road. Let's pray. God, thank you for peace. Peace that goes way beyond our understanding. The peace that helps us anchor ourselves in that safe place. That place where we experience your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I can remember times when my kids were little. They may have a bad dream or something may have happened and they are just frightened, anxious, and worried. And they would come in. They would share their frantic, frenetic feelings with me. You know, all I did at that point was just hold them and tell them it's going to be okay. You were not alone. That's the way I see God. There are times when it's going every which direction for me. And if I'm smart enough and wise enough, patient enough to turn and to let that embrace hold me, I hear those same words. It's okay. You are loved. I'm always with you. Go now in peace and go in that love. Amen.